Thank the Lord this morning for Calvary, what it accomplished, that there was a sacrifice made, atonement made that will cover the sins of the world, whosoever will, they come to the Lord. You need to think about that just a little bit. It's a marvelous wonder that atonement was able to save to the uttermost and reach the need of every heart and every life. That precious sacrifice, that blood that was shed for us, we might be able to bring that somewhat into the thought we have this morning. We acknowledge the need of the Lord to bless us together. We want His Spirit to speak to each of our hearts, building for us to bring forth some thoughts along the line of the enemy, how the Lord has come to defeat that in every one of our lives, and to give each one victory. I'm going to start with a common passage of scriptures in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. In the 8th verse, Peter was writing and he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Quite a bit contained in this passage of Scripture. First of all, it makes it clear that we have an adversary, that we have an enemy. The enemy is seeking whom he may devour, or who he might destroy. But we also have a God of all grace that is able to bring deliverance and give victory, even though we might suffer for a little while, or we may have a difficult time and be tested and tried. But the God of all grace will deliver us, and he will enable us to be victorious. First, we'd like to consider a little bit our adversary, the devil, and consider and to think a little bit how it really is. And even though you don't see him with your eyes, these eyes, natural eyes, yet he's just as real as the things you might see with your eyes. And it's important this morning to be able to identify the devil and his ways. The devil rarely would come and say, "I'm the devil, and I'm here to discourage you, or I'm here to blind you, and my ultimate goal is to destroy you." He doesn't generally come that way. He'll say, "Well, you know, here I am, and I'm your foe, and my goal is to just make you miserable and defeat you, and actually in the end destroy your quality of this life and cause you to be damned eternally." He doesn't approach us that way at all. And yet he is real. He's certainly real this morning. And he's set to do that. In the first chapter of Job, in the 7th verse, says, "Then the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." So where are you, Satan? And we might would say that this morning, the fact that literally you can't see him, or can you hear him? You might say, well, where is Satan? His response to God was that, "I'm here in the earth, and I'm walking up and down the earth, to and fro, and just everywhere." You know, the devil came here this morning. The Lord spoke about the parable of the sower and the seed, which is the word of the Lord. And he told how that in some cases the enemy stole the word from the minds and hearts of those that would hear the word. And I don't know of a better place to hear the word than when God's people congregate. Therefore, I'm convinced this morning that the devil is right here in this assembly, and that he would try to divert our attention from God and his word and the Spirit of the Lord. And sometimes he succeeds in that. He works in their minds and their hearts. And when perhaps thoughts of truth would come forth that was meant to bring salvation and to bring deliverance and to bring better understanding, know it is true this morning that it's the devil's work, and he works hard at it, to divert that or to take that from you. Well, the Lord wants to bless you with it. Even this morning, I want to warn you that there is an adversary, an enemy, that is set to take it from you and to do everything in his power to rob you of what God wants to give you and wants to bless you with. So consider that this morning. From whence cometh thou? The God of heaven said to Satan, he said, I'm here on the earth, and I'm doing my work. I'm going up and down, to and fro. I'm working in the minds and in as many hearts as they'll permit me, and I'm seeking to utterly destroy mankind and to cause every soul that I can to be damned. When I thought of that, I marveled at the wickedness of the enemy. I marveled at how cruel any power could be. To think of the thousands upon millions that are already consigned to eternal damnation and have no hope of eternal life or peace or joy. And it was the work of the devil. It was the accomplishment or the success of the devil. He has been able through the generations of time to tempt and to influence and to work in the hearts and life of mankind. And today already there are millions that are eternally lost without any hope. And it was the work of the devil. It was the fact that he succeeded in tempting them. He succeeded in controlling them. Even though there was a provisions made, there is a great plan of salvation that's been set. And it wasn't necessary that many would be lost, yet they are lost today because they chose that way. It was because of the work of the enemy, the devil, that is our adversary this morning. There are many lives in this world, and you probably heard people express their life as hell on earth, torment on earth, made choices and decisions, and partook of things that actually destroyed the quality of life. I think of the nation in which we live this morning, the crime. And we all know this morning that crime is far worse. And all of the killings and the robbery and all of those things is the work of the devil. Just turn loose upon mankind. I think this morning of the broken homes and the heartache and the child abuse and all that we are faced with today. That's the work of the devil. That's how cruel he is. That's how ruthless he is. And he's no respecter of persons. He really is. He is wicked. He's terrible. When you really think about it just a little bit. Of the condition. Even in our nation, it once was a somewhat a peaceful nation. At the time you could walk down the streets at night and not have fear, and there wasn't the violence there is today, but it's there today. And we wish it wasn't there. And the government, they sometimes feel like it's their responsibility to control those things, and they can't control those things. There's really only one control. And that's from above. That's God. That's our only hope. The only hope that we would have this morning of our nation becoming safer and better is God and God's plan and God's way. It isn't going to get any better. That's the work of the devil. So he is real this morning. And even if you try to push him out of your mind, the thoughts of him out of your mind, try to ignore him in that respect, he's still there. And he's still real, and he's still working in his way. In the 22nd chapter of St. Luke, Jesus was speaking here to Peter. And in this 22nd chapter, we will not take time to read it, but he refers to Judas before he addresses Peter. And Judas had already betrayed the Lord. Judas had already failed. Satan had already grasped him. He had already conquered him. And the 31st verse, Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." The Lord speaking to Peter here, and he says, Satan hath desired to have you. Did you know this morning that Satan desires to have you, regardless of who you are? Regardless of how young you might be, children, young people, and elderly people, and all of us this morning, Satan is set and doing his very best to have you, to conquer you, to ruin you, to destroy you. And he's serious about it. He's working at it. And while sometimes our attention may not be on it, or we may not be that conscious of it, he's working all the time. You may have been saved for 20, 30 years. You may have been saved just a year. You may not even be saved. But I want you to know that the scripture is true. Satan had desired to have you. He really wants you this morning. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants to hurt. He wants to destroy. And he's working at it. And that's why Peter said, you notice here in this Gospel of Luke that Jesus told him that Satan desired to have you. He is the one that also told us to be sober and to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter had had personal experience with this, and he had utterly failed and come short and knew it was the devil that caused that to take place in his life. But he repented and he was restored and the Lord blessed him. But he issued a caution. And I want to bring that caution to each one of us this morning. Remember, Satan hath desired to have you. Here, regardless of who we are, regardless of how the Lord has blessed us, Satan desires to conquer you. And do you know this morning there are those that walked with us, those that knew the Lord, that he has conquered? There are those that have labored in the gospel, those that have preached the word of the Lord, and those that the Lord has blessed, and he desired to have them too. There's no respected person. You don't become so spiritual that he says, well, I don't want anything to do with them. Or you don't become so established that the devil says, well, I'm going to give up on them. He wants you. He don't only want to, and he certainly does want to ruin this life. And I would say this morning that all of us could think of those, probably even in our own family, whose lives he's ruined, whose lives he's hurt, people that we loved and that was dear to us and we would have liked to help and made wiser decisions, and yet it was their decisions And all we could do was pray. But we saw the enemy ruined their life. Their purity, their happiness. And all we could do was pray. Comes that time. But we saw it happen. I have been in the presence of those that have physically died. I've also been around some that spiritually died. And I would much rather see a physical death. I've seen the enemy work upon the hearts of one that loved the Lord and one time lived for the Lord. And I've seen them gradually fade and gradually lose ground in their contact with God until a time where they totally lost their relationship with the Lord. That's a very sad thing. That hurts. But that's what the enemy is set to do to each and every one. Now, I don't like to talk in a negative way, and I don't very often. But sometimes the negative point is not sometimes, it is true. What I'm telling you this morning is true. It may not be pleasant to think about. And it may not, at this point, you may not feel like shouting. When you talk about how successful the devil has been in the world, and how that he has conquered and how that he's destroyed so many lives. Think of the vices and the bondage of sin and the habits of sin. You know, most of the people that have been taken advantage of or conquered, they didn't see the end of that. Many times I see occasionally of in the paper where celebrities have overdosed. Yeah. And I think to myself, many times in their youth, they didn't really, when they began that path, they didn't visualize or see that this is going to be the end. Many of the vices began in an association of pleasure and partying and the drink and the various vices. Many alcoholics today and many dope addicts, they didn't start with a thought, well, you know, I think I'll just choose this route so I can end up in Skid Row. But the devil, who is a master deceiver, was able to take advantage and to conquer their life. Because of who he is. And that happened in many lives. I don't want that to happen in any of our lives. In the 8th chapter of St. John, perhaps this is one of the best descriptions of the devil. And Jesus gave it, 44th verse. Speaking to the Pharisees, he said, Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. One verse tells us that Satan, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, seeking to destroy. That's his very nature. That is him. A murderer. Life-taking. Destroy. He also is a liar and the father of liars. Remember this morning that he really don't have anything good to offer anyone. And yet, he holds the majority of mankind within his power and his grasp. And he does it through deceit. He does it because he's a liar. The people today, they're living in sin and serving the devil and having a lot of difficulty in their life, and they're intelligent people. Intellectually, they're wise. And yet they make choices that ruin and hurt their lives. It's because he's a master deceiver. He's a master liar. And he promises good and he renders evil. Now he does that to all the unsaved, and he seeks to do it to those that are living for God. Everything that our life is denied and what God wants to do is because the enemy has lied. He's deceived. And we want, by the help of the Lord and by his word, to tear off the mask, so to speak, and help us to see him as he is and the advantage that he seeks in every life. He is a master deceiver. And he lies. He started it a long time ago. Read over in the third chapter of Genesis when he came there before Eve. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden?" You notice here, he well knew what God had said, but he presented in a question to get her attention. He says, "Yea, hath God said this, you shouldn't eat of every tree in the garden?" The woman said unto him, "Serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, lest ye, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." Okay? A lie, wasn't it? Don't you know that he speaks that way to everyone? Not just Eve, but he speaks that way to everyone. For when sin enters into the heart and life of an individual, it's when they transgress or disobey the law of the Lord. Knowingly transgress the word of the Lord. Generally, when that decision is made, there is two powers present. There's a power of light and understanding. Even as Eve had been told not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the midst of the garden. There's also the power of Satan that says that's not so. Most of the people in the world this morning that are living in sin don't really believe they're going to hell. And it's the devil that's told them that they won't go to hell. And as you begin to talk to them, they begin to say, "Well, have you ever heard this statement? A God of love surely wouldn't send someone to hell." Where do you think that originated? Who said it first? The devil. People in their human reasoning and their logic would conclude that surely God wouldn't banish me. Surely I wouldn't be lost. Have you ever heard anyone say, "Well, I may not be all that good, but I do a lot bad, but I do a lot of good things. Surely I wouldn't be lost because I do this and I do that." Where'd that come from? The deception of Satan. And that's why people with intelligent minds go on serving the devil, living in unrighteousness, because he deceives them and he lies to them. I want to impress that on our hearts and minds this morning, that the devil is going to lie to you. And the devil will seek to deceive you. But thank the Lord this morning, we have a hope. I want you to know this morning that you within yourself are not intelligent enough to reason with the devil. You will not be able to win. Just within your own knowledge, your own reasoning, what you think, All that within your own self would not qualify you. You're not be able to converse with the devil. That's where many people get in trouble. Many people today fail to yield their hearts and lives to the Lord because of their own thoughts, their own righteousness, their own ways. He's too much for us in our own self. And that's why the Lord came. That's why Jesus came into the world this morning, and that's why we have Calvary. Because it's through Jesus Christ this morning that we're able to identify the devil. We're able to see his lies, his deception. There is no one here this morning that in their own self could uncover his deceptions, could expose his lies. Couldn't do it. But it's through Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, that the devil is exposed. And they were able to see and to understand that which is right. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and the 8th verse says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's why Jesus came to the world. And that's when I saw Satan fall. When Jesus came, when Jesus went to Calvary, when he died and when he rose again triumphant, and broke the power of Satan in the lives and hearts of men and women, he also brought a light. He is the light of the world, and he is that light that uncovers and unmasks the devil. That's what conviction is, isn't it? Scripture teaches us plainly that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all were sinners at one time. We were lost. And had the sentence of death, eternal death. But Jesus came. By his Spirit he came and he illuminated. Conviction this morning, knowing that I'm lost and on my way to hell, is light from God. It's the only way you know. You talk to a lot of people today and say, "Do you know you're lost and that you're going to hell?" And it doesn't penetrate in their mind or their heart. They really don't know that. But when God in his love and mercy shines that light into my heart, when I was an unsaved boy and conviction came into my heart and I recognized that I was lost and I was undone and if I died I was going to hell, I didn't conclude that in my own self, but the light from heaven shone in. God's Spirit blessed me with that light and understanding. And God's Spirit also taught me that if I would humble my heart and seek him and repent of my sins, that he'd forgive them. That he would save me. I wasn't able to know all that in myself. But it was the light from heaven. And by his Spirit, he revealed that to me. He exposed the devil. And I was able to see the way I was going was leading to being lost. I thank the Lord for that light this morning. Amen. And I believe the Lord's faithful to shine that light into every heart and every life. And how important it is this morning to respond to that light. It may bring anxiety and fear. It may bring trouble, a troubled heart. But at the same time, it's such a blessing, such an honor to have the God of heaven reveal to me personally that I need to be saved. Then I need to seek the Lord, need to have my sins forgiven, and to know him. But that's what Jesus came for, to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, to bring light and understanding where we could know his deceptions and his lies. That's how we know it. That's how we become wise unto salvation. I believe the Apostle Paul, in the 22nd chapter of the Acts of the Apostles here, he was testifying
testifying to his calling. And before King Agrippa here, and the 15th verse, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of the things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentile, and to whom now I send thee." And this was his charge, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That was Paul's testimony of his calling, his ministry. I have been called to bring a light unto the Gentiles and to help them turn from the power of Satan to the power of God, or to help them to be saved. That was his mission. That's our mission in life today. That's our purpose of being. Is we want to be a light to the world, first of all in our lives, and then in our testimony and our words. We want to help people see the light that they might turn from the power of darkness, the power of Satan. So many people today under that power and under that deception. And what a charge it is to us this morning to be a true light into the world. When we're a true light unto the world, we dispel darkness and the deceit, see, of sin and of the devil. When we're able to live the plan of salvation and the glory of God in our life, it uncovers the deception of the enemy. It helps people to see there is a better life. When you and I are able to manifest the joys of salvation and the purity and the righteousness of Christ in our heart and life, it's dispelling the deceit and the darkness that's in the world today. That was Paul's ministry. He said, I've been charged, or I've been called to bring this light and this word of truth and deliverance to the Gentiles, to turn them from the power of Satan and the power of darkness into the power of light. The world still needs that this morning. And the Lord is looking to his people to provide that. In the 16th chapter of St. John, through the scripture, we're taught that Jesus is the light of the world, and he was. But he teaches us in the 16th chapter that it was expedient, it's necessary for him to ascend to the throne and to be our intercessor there. But he said he'd not leave us without a comforter. And in the 13th verse, John 16 and 13, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and show you things to come." It is the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit, that leads us into all truth, or leads us into all light. It is the Holy Spirit this morning that exposes all the deception of the enemy. Whether a person this morning is unsaved, or whether a person needs to be sanctified, or whether a person just has something in their life that the enemy is taking advantage of them, it's the Holy Spirit, and that's the way Christ speaks to us, that exposes and reveals all the lies and all the deceptions of the devil. For us to be sober and to be vigilant, as Peter instructed us there, says, because your adversary, the devil. The way that we are vigilant, the way that we are sober, is simply yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean in that scripture that I realize the devil's a roaring lion, so I'm going to try real hard in myself to watch for him. I'm going to try real hard to see if I can see how he's working. And I'm going to try to just really be conscious and careful that he's out working. And so in everything that I face and everyone that I see, I'm going to try to analyze. And I'm going to try to figure out, is this the devil? The Lord made a simpler way than that.
He said he would send the Holy Spirit into the world. And through the Holy Spirit, which is the light of the world, he will expose the enemy every time. There won't be any wrong analysis. There won't be any wrong impressions. There won't be any mistakes when the Holy Spirit reveals and shows. So our responsibility by choice is to be very sensitive, very careful, to yield ourselves and respond to the Holy Spirit. If an individual is not saved, don't know their sins are forgiven, the Holy Spirit will reveal, will show that. Then for them to be sober and to be vigilant simply means they respond to the call of the Holy Spirit to repent of their sins. If one today needs to consecrate and dedicate their life to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will reveal that. Now, it doesn't mean to say that Satan won't also be there. And he'll say, well, you're living about as good as anyone else. You know. And there aren't anyone else making much sacrifice. And I think that he'll bring a lot of suggestions and a lot of reasons, but the Holy Spirit will be true. And so to be sober, to be vigilant, be watchful of the enemy, we yield to the Holy Ghost when he reveals to us our need of being sanctified holy. And you'll find that after you're sanctified, it'd be wonderful if the enemy never approaches again. If you could come to an experience where you was sanctified, holy, and empowered with the Holy Spirit, that the devil would give up, that would just be wonderful. But he doesn't. Still comes around. Saved and sanctified and having the blessing of the Lord in my life and hearing and answering my prayers and I feel his presence and enjoying my walk with the Lord, and the devil hasn't given up yet. Still comes around. Still comes around, and, well, fourth chapter of Matthew. We addressed some of that in the adult Sunday school class this morning, where the Lord himself was tempted of the devil. Jesus Christ, the righteous, pure, holy Son of God, the Savior of the world, and yet he was tempted of the devil. The devil... God permitted the devil to give him the opportunity to present some things to the Lord. That doesn't mean he wasn't Lord, and it doesn't mean he wasn't victorious. Nor does it mean this morning that when the enemy presents thoughts to you that you're not sanctified, that you're not victorious. See? That's the way he works. We must learn to do as the Lord to resist the enemy. In 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, and the 11th verse, the apostle says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Now, up to this point, we've talked quite a bit about Satan seeking to devour or to destroy us. It's my conviction this morning that if he can't destroy us, then he'll seek to take advantage of us. There's a little difference there. And he'll try to take away some of the things the Lord provided for us and wants us to have. There may be some in their experience that say, I haven't turned loose of the Lord. I want to be saved. I want to live for him. But I'm not really where I should be. I'm not as victorious. I'm not as strong as I ought to be. I'm having some real problems in my Christian life. And the reason for that is because the enemy, if he can't, as I said, totally destroy you, he will seek in every means and every way to take the advantage of you and take away some of the strength and some of the peace and some of the joy and some of the great provisions that the Lord has made for us. And we need to be aware of that. Be sober, be vigilant. Because we have a great heritage this morning. We have many great promises. The promises that are given to us brings the fullness of his joy. and peace and victory and happiness in our hearts and our lives. And if we're not experiencing that, then the enemy is taking advantage of us. You may still say, I'm going to live for God and I'm going to serve Him, but He's coming against me and I just don't feel like I have the fullness of His blessing. Well, the apostle said we're not ignorant of His devices. His devices come through the flesh. His devices come through human reasoning, doubts, logic. Many times, the enemy's devices are through those channels and take advantage of us. I'll not take time to read it, turn and read it, but in the 13th chapter of Numbers, it tells us about God had promised the children of Israel the land of Canaan. And in the land of Canaan, you remember there were many wonderful things. There were houses, there were wells, vineyards, everything that was needed to sustain life and an abundance of life. And it was promised to them. They'd already been delivered out of the bondage of Egypt, which is a type of sin, brought there before the river Jordan, and the promises was yet theirs. Israel, that generation, if you'll go on, cross over, I'll give you the land. And you remember they sent the 12 spies, and they spied out the land, and they brought back evidence that the land is just as prosperous and good and abundant as God said it is. It was God's promise to them to give them that land, a land that they really hadn't earned, a land that they hadn't made the preparations. It was all provided and given to them of God. But if you remember, there were some Amorites. I believe there were some enemies in the land. And when the spies came back, there were 10 of them that brought an evil report. And they said they all agreed that the land was as God said it was, prosperous and good. But 10 says, we can't take that land. We cannot possess it because of the giants. Those that are up there, they're giants. And we're simply grasshoppers in their sight. Logic, human reasoning. As we really analyze this, even though God said we could have it, yet we're not able to have it simply because of how it appears. Caleb, I believe it was, still the people. Men of faith. He said, let us go up at once and possess the land. We're well able. Depending on God's promises, and God's words, and God's provision. I don't question at all this morning, there is spiritual land, spiritual Canaan, the sanctified life. The people would say today, yes, I believe God's provisions made that. I believe He's promised it. But all the giants, the logic of it. I just don't feel that I can enter into that experience where I have the fullness of His joy, where I have the power in my heart and life to triumph and to conquer all the powers of carnality. I just don't see it as something I can possess and I can have and I can live. But I want to tell you this morning, God provided it. God made a way. Regardless of who we are, that we can possess everything He promised. And every partial that we put the sole of our foot on can be ours. But I also want to tell you the devil's contesting that. Sometimes people say we don't hear much about sanctification anymore. We don't hear a whole lot about a Holy Ghost-filled life. Where we're living by the power of the Holy Ghost in and through our life day by day, and having that victory and power with God and delivered from the power of the world and of the flesh,
that the enemy of all of us today is doing everything in his power to keep people from going on to perfection. Keeping individuals from going on and making a total consecration and dedication of their life. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to be ready to meet the Lord. But I really am not ready to totally dedicate my life and my time and my all to the Lord. And that's one of the reasons the harvest is great and the labors are few. And the needs are great this morning.
for those who will lay their life down and dedicate themselves totally to God. The enemy opposes that. Do you know why this morning that people have such a hard time with the world and the fashions of the world and the ways of the world? Because the God of this world is promoting such. And the God of this world, who is Satan, is seeking to take the advantage of every one of our lives and to lure and tempt to reach out or to have affection upon the fashions and the ways and the things of this world. And people, many times, are taken advantage of because of his devices. Didn't the scripture say something about the deceitfulness of riches? Why does it say riches are deceitful? Because the devil makes people feel like if they can accomplish wealth, then they'll be happy. Okay? Then they'll be secure. And there's a deception in that. If you remember Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he said he gave his heart to mirth and he sought out these things. And in that, I think it's the second chapter, he says, my wisdom remained with me. And because his wisdom remained with him and he wasn't deceived, he said it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. It doesn't really satisfy. It isn't really secure. It is the real true riches. To Solomon said. And yet, we're human this morning. And if we're not sober and not vigilant, we too can lose that wisdom or that perspective. And we too can set our affections and let that be the motivation of our life rather than our service to God. Did you know the enemy set to divert our attention from the real true riches and the real purpose of life? What is your purpose of living this morning? Why are we here? Good question, isn't it? What's really the purpose of life? It's to live for God. It's to serve Him. It's to lay up treasures in heaven. That's the real purpose of life. But how the enemy tries to take that from us. How he tries to divert our attention. How he tries to distort our vision. And he works at it day and night, all the time. And that's why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray. The Lord well understood that we're human. And he's been very good to us. He's very patient with us. His mercy is great. And he's been faithful to give us the Holy Spirit. And he did it all that we'd be able to conquer the enemy. This morning, also, I'd like to briefly mention there are lawful things in our life that the devil would like to take advantage of. Scripture says all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Everything doesn't edify. There again, I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit that will lead us and direct us in life. And I would say to our youth today, not just to the youth, but especially to the youth and to all of us, it is so important to be led of the Holy Spirit in your decisions. Life before you. How many times has the enemy taken advantage of people in their career? Well, we know the Word of the Lord teaches us to work with our hands and to be responsible. And that is a responsibility we have. But yeah, how many times has the enemy taken that very thing and caused people to become so absorbed and so set and overcharged? Jesus said something about being overcharged with the cares of life. And how important it is that we permit the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us and to check us. Because without that, the enemy is going to take advantage of us. And I would say that all of us could say, at one time in my life, the Spirit's faithfulness showed me where the enemy was taking advantage of me. And he was seeking to deceive me and seeking to take away from me what God wanted to give me. But God was faithful. That's a wonderful blessing of the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many lives this morning have been ruined with the wrong courtship and the wrong marriage. Did you know that's one of the enemy's greatest tools? How many lives have been marred? How many lives that God would have used in a greater way had that been carefully sought out? But it's a lawful thing, isn't it? It's a human thing. It's a good thing. Most everyone wants a companion in life. And that's God's will. God says it's not good that man would be alone. God ordains such. But how many times has the devil taken the advantage of that and caused people in their own thought, in their own way, to make their own choice? I know some personally this morning that I believe whose lives would have been much better had they made the right decision. It was obvious. And I want to just bring this down a little closer. There are saved people with limited understanding in the world this morning. But to those who are saved with greater understanding and greater light, that are in God and in God's true church, it's not a wise thing. It's not a wise thing to court. It's not a wise thing to let your affections go out. I was young once, and I know what I'm talking about. It's not a wise thing. I know what the enemy does. He puts an appeal. And there's reasoning even. Sometimes people will say, well, yeah, but they're a Christian. As much as they know, they're saved. And so we find that this has happened a number of times where people have made choices and decisions really outside of the will of the Lord. And it severely hindered and limited what God could have done in their life. You consider what I say. I'm not saying you have to agree, but you consider it. So important this morning. Lawful things that the enemy tries to take advantage of. He tries to diminish what God wants to do in each one of our lives. Chapter of Ephesians. And 27th verse says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give any place to the devil.
You know, sometimes through our temptations, we may give a little place. Yeah. Well, I don't really plan to do what I know would be wrong. But I just entertain thoughts sometimes, but I'm not going to do it. That's giving place to the devil. Have you ever heard anyone say, if I wasn't saved, I'd do so and so and so and so? You know, they give it some thought. Well, they give it too much thought. That's just giving a little place to the devil. Well, if I wasn't saved, I'd probably be a certain celebrity, or I could really do something great if I wasn't saved. You already give too much thought to that. We need to ask the Lord to help us to recognize the devil. Recognize his thoughts, his ways, and give no place to the devil. Resist it. In the 6th chapter of Ephesians, the 10th verse says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, his trickery, his deceit. Put on the whole armor of God, everything that God has for us.
Put it into your life that you might be able to stand against the deceitful, the trickery. Have you ever seen the devil take advantage of one of your brothers or sisters in the Lord? And it seemed like it was so easy to see, and so hard to see it when he might take advantage of us. You ever seen attitudes in brothers in the Lord that you thought weren't just what they ought to be? Attitudes and feelings. And it just seemed like so evident. And yet, you just wonder why they couldn't see it. Well, it may be that sometimes we just kind of hard to see our own self. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. Put on the whole armor of God. Give no place to the devil. Recognize that he is. And remember this morning that he's set to have you. He really wants you. And if it can be a gradual process, that's all right with him. See? He'll work day and night, week out, week in, week out, months and years, do everything he can to bring you down to a point where you'll just finally destroy you. Closing, I want to read here in the fourth chapter of James. Read the 6th and 7th verse. Says, he giveth more grace. Wherefore God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now that's scripture. That's not just my thought. It is a scripture. It is a promise of the Lord that if we'll resist the devil, he'll flee from us. Flee means he gets out of there. Have you ever heard someone tell you something you didn't really think they meant it? You didn't put much stock in it? Well, the devil's kind of that way. You say, devil, I don't want that thought. You know? He, all the time, he's focusing and looking in, does that person really mean it? You know? And if he perceives at all that you don't mean it, he isn't going anywhere. But if in the name of Jesus, from the heart, you resist the devil, he'll flee.
Yes.
And that's what people do when they repent. When they seek the Lord, when they repent, they're resisting the devil from the heart as they call on the name of the Lord. We need to do that all through our Christian life this morning. Don't give any place to the devil. Don't live in a place where you let him harass you or disturb your peace, your commitment to the Lord. Don't allow that. But just humble your heart. He gives more grace. And resist the devil from the heart. And when you do that, he'll leave. I guess I can honestly say this morning I've done both. There's times when temptation came. Thoughts came. Attitudes, feelings. And I knew they wasn't just conforming to his holiness. And I might would say, well, I don't like this. I shouldn't think like this. And maybe struggle on for a little while. But when we decide we want contact with the Lord and we want victory, then we resist it from the heart in the name of the Lord, and it'll go. You don't have to live with unforgiveness, bitterness, pulls of the world. Whatever the enemy is trying to impose on us, we don't have to live that way. If we'll from the heart resist the devil, call on the name of the Lord, and he'll bless us. May the Lord bless each one is our prayer.